Matthew chapter 24 and beginning in verse number 42. Bible says, "Watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore, be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh." Let's pray together. Father, I thank you, Lord, today for your mercy and your grace. Lord, I thank you for one more time allowing us to gather in your house. Lord, now as we look into your word, I pray you'd open our hearts to receive of the precious word of God. We ask you for that one that's not saved right here today. Oh, Lord, I pray that thy Holy Spirit, I would convict them, draw them at the place of repentance and salvation. Help us as your people. Lord, without you, we're nothing. Without you, we can do nothing, nor do we want to. Lord, have your will and way. Be glorified in all we say and do. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You can be seated. Again, he says in verse 42 and 44, he said, "Watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come." Verse 44, "Therefore be also ready, for in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh." I'm going to preach this morning, the Lord being my helper, on this subject. If Jesus came today. If Jesus came today, we are told here by our Lord to be ready, for in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man would come. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I realize that men of God have been preaching this for some 2,000 years. But, ladies and gentlemen, we are closer to the coming of the Lord than we've ever been in any other generation. I really believe Jesus is coming again. And as far as I'm concerned, today would be as good as any day. Amen. Hey, I'm longing for it. I'm looking for it, for the Lord to come again. Now, if you're sitting here and you don't believe in the rapture, you're going to be mighty out of place today. But I'm telling you, whether you believe it or not, this Bible declares that Jesus is coming again. And as sure as he said it, God cannot lie. Therefore, it will come to pass. Friend, today as I think about, this could be the day, for we don't know. We don't know. It could be tomorrow, next week, or maybe next year. But I know this. The Bible said, Jesus himself said, in the hour that you think not. Hey, I'm going to be honest with you right here. A lot of folk in churches this morning are not thinking about the Lord coming. Their mind's about eating after a while. Their mind's about the election in November. Their mind's about family. A lot of things on their mind. But ladies and gentlemen, Jesus, I could come today. Amen. And I say with John from the Isle of Patmos, even so come, Lord Jesus. Amen. I think about each time I meditate on the scripture about his coming, preach about his coming. I think back as a boy how the old time saints had testified about the coming of the Lord. And you know what? Want to know this morning? They believed it so strong, it convinced me before I was ever saved. Amen. I realized before we left church, Jesus, I could come again. I'm telling you today, we are mighty close to the rapture of the church. Amen. The Lord is coming again. Well, preacher, what's going to happen if Jesus would come today? Just two things I'll deal with. This ain't an exhaustive message, but just trying to get your mind upon how the coming of the Lord. Can I say first, if Jesus came today, there will be a crowd leaving. Amen. There's a crowd that'll pull out if Jesus descends this morning with the shout, the voice of the archangel, and the trump of God. Who's leaving, preacher? Those of us who are saved by the marvelous grace of God. Hey, I'm glad, as I said earlier, that the blood's been applied. I'm saved. Hey, it's settled. I'm not guessing about it. I'm not hoping about it. I know down in the reservoir of my soul, and all is well between me and the Savior. I'm saved and I'm ready should he come today. Oh, there is a crowd that'll leave out of here if Jesus comes today. Oh, I'm glad I'm a part of the crowd of leaving. Amen. Hey, there's nothing like having that blessed hope, that blessed assurance. Hey, if Jesus comes, you're out of here. Hey, the world wants rid of us. They really do. They hate us. Jesus said, don't be shocked by that. He said they hated him first, and they're going to hate us. I'm going to tell you, they want rid of us, but no worse than we want to go. Amen. I want out of here worse than they want me out. Amen. And the older you get, I will say this to our young people, the older you get, the more you want Jesus to come. Amen. You find out this world is just temporary. You find out nothing of this world I can satisfy the soul. And as a child of God, you yearn, you long to be in the presence of the Lord. And if he can, we'll live him today. Oh, yes. Hey, if we leave, there's three things I want to say to us. Remind us that are leaving about three things quickly. I want to say this. We will be changed. Amen. There's going to be a glorious change. And I say, first of all, the dead in Christ will be resurrected. Hey, I've followed some loved ones to the grave. I've followed church members to the grave. I'll tell you, it's sad and it's heartbreaking. Oh, but those that were saved, hey, we did not bury them. No, we planted them. For if you plant something, you're looking for it to come up. I'm going to tell you, every believer that's died in Christ and been laid beneath the sod, one day when Jesus descends, we'll get resurrected and glorified instantly at his coming. Oh, friend, there is hope for the child of God. I thought about this morning for my wife and children say, hey, I want to go in the rapture. I don't want to see death. But if I have to go by the way of the clods, it's okay. I can tell you, as they used to sing, I firmly promise you that I'll meet you by the river. Hey, I know I'm going today. Amen. Oh, friend, those loved ones of ours, we have planted them in the ground, and we're looking for the resurrection one day. And he is the resurrection. Amen. Oh, friend, today we will be changed, the dead resurrected, and the living's going to get changed. That's right. We see in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, that the dead get resurrected first, then we which are alive, we're getting changed. The Bible said in 1 Corinthians 15, it's going to be in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Oh yeah, that's fast. By the way, that's faster than you can wink. Amen. That twinkling is faster than light can be seen from the eye. That's right. Hey, we are moving out of here. Hey, we're getting a glorified body. Philippians chapter 3 said our vile body. Hey, that's what this body is. It's vile. I hate it. I don't know about you, but this right here, this flesh, is the number one problem I have. It ain't Washington. It ain't Columbia. It's my old rotten flesh, and your flesh is your number one problem. But hallelujah, if Jesus came today, amen, in the twinkling of an eye, a changed to a glorified body. A Philippians said, fashioned unto his glorious body. Hey, that's going to be a hallelujah day. Hey, when we get translated out of here, get changed in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Hey, the Bible said in 1 John 3 and verse 2, beloved, now are we the sons of God. That's good news. Right now, ain't waiting to be, ain't hoping to be. Right now, the sons of God. That's who we are. Amen, beloved, now are you the sons of God. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. Oh, won't it be great to get a glorified body? Hey, we're going to have a change take place. Right now, I'm a pouring all I got, giving everything I got. And inside of me, my lungs are thumping, and I'm trying their best to get air in as quick as it can. Hey, my body gets tired while I'm preaching. I run out of vocabulary while I'm preaching. But I'm telling you, one day when Jesus comes, hey, I'm getting a glorified body that'll not wear out and finally get the vocabulary I've always wanted to have to praise Him and to glorify Him. Oh, friend, in the moment Jesus comes, we shall be changed. Oh, no more pain. No more sickness. No more disease. No more sorrow for the people of God. Hey, we're leaving it all behind. Amen. Hey, here's what thrills me the most. Finally being a body that'll never be tempted to sin again. You think about that. In a body that will never sin again. Now you say, preacher, I've got the sinless perfection here. Yeah, you lie about something else too. Amen. You still get mad. You still deal with your flesh like I do. There's not been eradication of this flesh. But one day, hallelujah, we're going to get a glorified body that'll never sin again. Amen. Oh, friend, if Jesus came today, we'll be changed. Hey, we'll be called up also. We're getting out of here. I like what one old mountain preacher, how he worded. He said it won't be with no airplane ride, but it'll be a plain air ride. Amen. I like that. We're leaving here without any transportation that'll be seen. Amen. To be caught up. Hey, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16 said, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trumpet of God. And then Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Hey, we're being caught up. Now somebody said, you always got smart alecks, religious smart alecks. I'm just being honest. That word rapture ain't in the Bible. Well, the word Bible ain't in the Bible either. Amen. That word rapture just describing in one word what's going to happen. Amen. That is that catching away. They be caught up. Now that word, them words caught up, I like this. Listen, it's what it very means. It means to seize. It means to carry off by force. You say, preacher, that's weird. Not when you really get thinking about Scripture. What does the Bible say in the book of Ephesians? Who is the principality of the air? That's Satan. Hey, the devil is not in hell this morning. Hello, against everything you've ever heard, the devil is not in hell. He is the principality of the air. Hey, for us to get out of here, guess where we go? We're going through his domain. That's why he said by force, taken out. You don't think the devil like to hold us back? I keep us from making that trip. Well, that's why he said to be caught up. Had to seize. Had to, hey, to by force, to get out of here. Hey, it also, listen to this. Them words caught up means to claim for oneself eagerly. That means he really wanting to get us. Amen. Hey, you understand what you mean to the Lord. You understand how much he loves you. You understand you being a part of his body, his bride. You understand this morning that you mean something to the Lord Jesus. And with eager anticipation, he's looking for that day. Now, the Bible tells us he don't even know that day. That's the Bible. You say, explain that. I can't do it. I can't. I just know that's what the Bible said. But I know this, on that day, with eager anticipation, he is going to come get us. Amen. He is going to snatch us out of here. For that word means also to snatch out or away. Now, I got dwelling on that definition. To snatch out or away. Why would that be a definition for those words caught up? Well, for this very reason, we are saved from wrath. If you was about to walk out into traffic and about to get hit and someone nearby, they'd reach out and snatch a hold of you and jerk you out of the path of that oncoming car. Is that right? Amen. Do you know what? This world's got a tribulation ahead of it, a tribulation period. But thank God we that are saved, hey, we're getting caught up. We're getting took out of here before that ever enters in. Amen. It means, my friend, to snatch out or snatch out of the way. By the way, we are what's holding that back. Amen. Spirit of God lives in us that are saved. According to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And he's holding it all back by the church. But when we get caught out of here, hey, you talk about hell on earth. You ain't seen nothing yet. Amen. Hey, we find that we're going to be caught. It means to pluck also. That's interesting. Why would you use a word that means to pluck? I can tell you this is because a lot of saved folk have got their tent pegs too deep. That's right. I mean this. I say it quite a bit in the last few years because it's true in my heart. All I have is just stuff. That's it. There ain't nothing that I can't do without. It's just stuff. Everything I got, hey, you name a price, I'll sell it to you. That's how I mean it. Don't mean nothing. It's just all this something God let me borrow for a little while. Amen. He's given me a lot of good things, and I'm thankful for it, but it is just stuff. Amen. Oh, but we're getting pulled out of here. Catched away out of this world one day, Jesus come. Hey, if Jesus came today, we'll be chained. If Jesus came today, hey, we will be caught up. Let me say, thirdly, we will see Christ. He said there in that verse, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 17, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Hey, I thought about something this morning. Haven't thought about this verse in a while. Boy, the Holy Ghost reminded me what Job said in Job 19 and verse 25 through 27. Job said, for I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself, and my eyes shall behold, and not another, though my reins be consumed within me. Hey, ladies and gentlemen, we are going to see the Lord. Amen. I like this right here. You hear me? Nobody is going to have to point him out. You understand that? I mean, there ain't nobody going to say, let me introduce you to Jesus. I have done been introduced to him. I have never seen him, Brother G.W., my natural eye, but I've been introduced to him. I know him. I know him personally. I have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we are caught up, I'm going to know him on sight because I've known him by heart. Amen. Hey, I guarantee you, you ain't going to have to guess who he is. For he is the main attraction of heaven. I'm glad for mansions. I'm glad for streets of gold and all that. That's wonderful. But the main attraction of heaven is the Lamb of God who loved us and gave himself for us. Amen. And we'll see him. Now, I'm going to say this for you that I nerve getting emotional. They are a few. Sometimes visitors come, I scare them, turning red, sweating, spitting, hollering. I'm going to tell you, you ain't seen nothing yet. You just think I get a little stirred up around here. Amen. Hey, to see him. You hear me? To lay eyes on him that loved me when I was unlovable. Who saved me when I deserved to go to hell. I'm telling you, when I get to lay my eyes upon him, I bow at his feet and begin to worship him. Oh, my soul, I'm telling you today, it's going to be a hallelujah moment in your life when we see Jesus for the first time. Amen. Oh, friend, if Jesus came today, this crowd that's leaving will be changed, we'll be caught up, and we will see Christ. Oh, yes. Can I say this? Not only if Jesus came today, there'll be a crowd leaving. But let me say, secondly, there will be a crowd left. That's right. As sure as those that are saved are leaving out of here at the coming Lord, there's a crowd that's not going. Amen. Who is that crowd? All those that have not been saved. Everybody that is lost is being left behind. Now understand this. If it happened in the middle of a service, there's going to be a bunch of us gone. But some of you are going to be sitting right there where you are sitting right now. 60 seconds ain't going to change it. You're going to be so dumbfounded. You're going to be such utter shock. Amen. We preached it to you. We've told you what God said in His Word, and you rejected the knowledge of the truth. You rejected the love of the truth. Amen. And you will be left behind. Somebody said, "Oh, preacher, ain't you read that fellow's book, Love That Wins Out in the End?" I'm going to tell you something. Love does win, but it ain't for everybody. Amen. It wins for those of us that are saved. Amen. Oh, preacher, don't you think that after a little while, the Lord's going to say, "All right, you've been tormented enough in hell, I'll let you out." That ain't never going to happen. Are you hearing me? Hey, if you are left behind, if Jesus came right now, you would be left behind. You, they're not saved. What would happen, preacher? Well, let me say this. Number one, you receive strong delusion. I want to read some verses to you because you need to hear this from what the Bible has to say. The Bible said in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and down in verse 10 and 11, it said, "And with all deceivableness of unrighteous and them that perish, and because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause," for what cause? "They didn't receive the knowledge of the truth, the love of the truth. And for this cause, God," not a preacher, not the church, "but God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness." Hey, God's going to send a strong delusion of those who are not saved, but yet you have heard the truth. Somebody said, "Oh, preacher, I plan on getting saved when I see this rapture happen you're talking about." Be too late. You will be given strong. In other words, you ain't going to believe it then nor now, because you had the choice here and you said no. And Jesus comes today, you're left behind, and you're going to believe everything the Antichrist tells you, and your doom is set. Amen. Hey, you are left behind. You are sure for an eternity in the lake of fire. That's right. Hey, there'll be strong delusion. Let me say this. If you're left behind, there'll be serious days ahead of you. Now, it's bad right now. And it's getting worse. Anybody with any sense knows that. We are not making the world a better place. Hello? The world ain't going to get a better place till the Prince of Peace comes back. Amen. Hey, there are serious days. Can I say this first? There are days of distress. Also, Matthew 24, verse 6 and 7, talked about wars and rumors of wars, talks about all kinds of earthquakes. Hey, you're talking about people whose nerves are tore up. Now, it's bad right now. Fear grips people's heart just going through a mall. Huh? You get out at your own house now, looking around at every bush. You stop at red lights and you're still trying your best to be alert what's around you. Hey, it's going to get worse than that one day. Amen. Hey, there'll be days of distress. It'll be days of drought and dearth, famine. You can find that in Matthew chapter 24, verse 7, Revelation chapter 6, verse 5 and 6, Revelation chapter 16, verse 8 and 9. Let us know, hey, listen to me, the sun is going to intensify in its heat. I'm going to give you something that the Spirit of God spoke to my heart about in that text, in chapter 6 and chapter 16 of Revelation. People are talking about global warming today. Hear a lot about gold, and they talk about how the North Pole and all the are shrinking. Can I say that's the mercy of God? You say that can't be the mercy of God. What do you reckon happened if the pole's at its full like it has been in years gone by, and God cuts the sun up. Wouldn't it melt the poles? That's God in His mercy, whether you know it or not. And I'm telling you, think she's hot now. You hear me? God will intensify the heat off the sun like you've never dreamed and going to cause worldwide famine. The Bible tells us in Revelation 6, it's going to take a day's wages to buy some wheat. Amen. You think groceries are high now. You wait till the tribulation period. Amen. I'm talking about days of drought and dirt. Hey, days of disease. For He said pestilence there in Matthew 24 and verse 7. That's plagues. That's contagious diseases that are of epidemic proportions. Are we not seeing more and more type stuff like that? My lifetime alone, we've seen the AIDS epidemic. Is that right? We've seen all kinds of birds carrying things, and now the Zika virus of our day. Hey, are you listening to me? We're talking about pestilence one day. Amen. Oh, friend, I'm talking about those left behind. That's what you got to face. Hey, it'll also be days of destruction. Matthew 24, 7 tells about earthquakes. Luke chapter 21, verse 11 and 25 talks about the sea and the waves, tsunamis, hurricanes, typhoons. Revelation 8, verse 7 through 11, you got all kinds of great disasters. Stars falling out of the heaven and everything else. Hey, we're talking about days of destruction. But here's this. According to Revelation chapter 6, I thought about this verse. Revelation chapter 6 and verse 8, it's days of death. Ain't it interesting? Everybody in our day is so interested in death. You notice that? They're all what are the major shows on television? They deal with death. They want you with the zombies and the vampires and all. The devil is desensitizing this generation. Because you're about heading for days of death like you ain't never seen it. Amen. Here's what the Bible said in Revelation 6 and verse 8. And I looked, behold, a pale horse, and his name that sat on him was Death. And hell followed with him. And power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth to kill with sword and with hunger and with death and with the beast of the earth. Ladies and gentlemen, hey, there's going to be days of death like this world has never known. A fourth part of the earth. You say, preacher, is that figuratively? Is that spiritual? Is that legit? Oh, it's a fact. He didn't say as it were. He said a fourth part of the earth's going to die in the tribulation period. We're talking about days of death. May I say also, you're left behind strong delusion, serious days. But there's a second death ahead of you. Revelation chapter 20, the lake of fire. Your name's not in the book of God. Therefore, you will be cast into the lake of fire, not to be consumed, not to cease to exist, but to burn forever and ever and ever. But I want to tell you something this morning. You don't have to go if you'll get saved, and we don't want you to go. Amen. Hey, the reason I preach the way I do, the reason I thunder it out, is so that you'll hear me well. Hey, I want you to get saved. Hey, and go to heaven with us. I don't want nobody left behind. I don't want nobody to go to hell. And I mean nobody. Amen. Oh, we're in a day they talk about they're too mean, they're too weak. I'm telling you, Jesus died for everybody. He tasted death for all men. That's everybody that's ever drawn breath or will draw breath. Amen. Oh, friend, today the Lord's coming. Are you ready? Because here's what I'll leave you with, and hear me real good just a moment. Again, if Jesus came today, there's a crowd leaving and there's a crowd that'll be left. Why would you preach on the coming of the Lord, preacher? Well, number one, because it purifies the saints. Here's what the Bible said. I read you 1 John 3, 2. That we'll be like Him. Verse 3 says this, and every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself even as he is pure. You know what happens when you get thinking about the Lord coming? You're a little bit more careful about your decision making. You get a little bit more cautious how you talk, how you act, what you wear, and where you go. Amen. See, it wouldn't keep the coming of the Lord on your mind. That at any time Jesus could come. How do you want to be found when he comes? Amen. It purifies the child of God. Hey, but it pleads with the sinner. It does. Revelation chapter number 22, I thought about these verses. Verse 17 said, "And the Spirit and the bride say, Come. And let him that heareth say, Come. Let him that is athirst come. Who said, Well, let him take the water of life freely." Verse 20, he which testifieth these things saith, "Surely I come quickly." Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Hey, the come, the Lord pleads with a sinner to get saved. Now, here it is. You say, "Well, preacher, it's been this long. I'll wait another Sunday." You may not have another Sunday. This could be it. This could be the week. That's right. I'm not date setting. Don't you get nervous. Anybody date set, they don't know the Bible. They think they're intelligent, but they don't know the Bible. You say, "That's me." No, that's truth. For he said, "No man knows the hour." Period. Amen. And everybody's ever got a big thing going, writing all them books. Man, I've done lived through 1988, and you have too. 88 Reasons the Lord's Coming in 88. You can find that on the giveaway shelf at any old used bookstore. Ain't even worth propping your coffee table up with. Amen. If somebody marks a day, plan a vacation. Amen. Take a trip. You ain't gonna get interrupted. That's right. God makes monkeys out of that crowd thinks are intelligent like that. Always has, always will. That's why it disbehooves you. You better be ready. Because it could be the day or it may be next month. But we know this. He said, "I go to prepare you a place. And if I go, I will come again." He promised it. It's going to happen. How real is it, preacher? One moment you could walk on dirt and the next moment on gold. One moment riding down the road in your car and the next riding through the air without any transportation. One moment being a little house by the side of the road and next in a place prepared by him. Hey, are you hearing me? I'm telling you, it is a reality. Jesus is coming. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Father, thank you for the attention of your people today. I've tried my best to preach what you said to preach. Lord, take the message. Use it. I pray that some sinner will be saved. Lord, what a joy. Oh, Lord, how that would thrill my heart. Somebody get born again right here in the house of God today. Lord, we love you in Jesus' name. Heads bowed, eyes closed just a moment. I've tried my best to preach what's on my heart today. I pray you've been listening. Today, as you're sitting here, this could be the time that the Lord could descend, rapture us out of here. Would you go with us, or would you be left behind? You're here today lost, and you're going to be honest with yourself. Before God, there's nobody looking around, and certainly nobody in this place would make fun of you. I promise you that. We are concerned about your soul. We are concerned about your eternal destination. And you're here lost today, and by slipping up your hand, you're admitting, "Preacher, I'd be one of them left because I'm not saved. I see that hand. Somebody else, preacher, I'm lost, and I'm just going to be honest. No need to play about it. I see that hand. Somebody else, preacher, I'm not saved. I see that young hand. Somebody else." I'm telling you today, you better know for certain that you're ready to go. If Jesus came today, would you be leaving or would you be left?